Let's check in with financial expert Terry Savage, find out what's going on money-wise. And Terry, the futures, Dow Jones, down. And is that because of the coronavirus cases in the country now flaring up in many states?
Yeah, that's a big worry. The market's been seesawing back and forth with incredible volatility in the last few weeks. Everybody agrees the economy is opening up. And so every time you get an economic report compared to April, it's up 17% or mortgages are up or retail sales are up. That kind of good news cheers the market on. Hey, we're back. And then sober minds say, wait a second, we're back from a very low level. We don't know that every business is going to reopen to the kind of extent that we saw we were at in January before all this started. And then layer that over with reports that 10 states have new record highs in cases, and you get fear takes a step in. And today, right now, where the futures down about 300 points.
What are you expecting when we get some numbers here in a few minutes today?
You know, people. I don't know what I'm expecting. And as a matter of fact, you used to have tons of guesses and guesstimates about what the new claims for unemployment would be. But people parse these numbers and they come up with reasons this each time. So I don't think the expectations matter as much as what the numbers are. And the numbers are that people are still making new claims for unemployment, and that's not a positive sign. In the middle of this, we've got Congress. Now, I want to mention this because so many people have texted, you know, written me or posted at terrysavage.com. But what about this new stimulus? When will I get my second stimulus check? This is an election year. I have no doubt, I really could say this, that Congress will come to some kind of an agreement to give more money, whether we print it, however they get it, to people to buy their votes. So both parties will come together with some kind of a plan. But right now, there's a lot of talk, no plan. On one side is the recognition that more than two-thirds of people who receive the federal $600 a week in unemployment benefits will receive more than they make by going back to work. So people don't want to go back to work. That's an interesting disincentive to go back to work. But that program ends at the end of July. So what the headlines, I think, will be coming up, particularly after the July 4th holiday weekend, will be what's Congress going to do? How are they going to get together? A bonus for going back to work? Sliding scale of the $600? We in Illinois know that people still aren't getting what they're supposed to get anyway. That's a sidebar story. But federally, there will be a lot of talk about how much more the government's going to pass out to people because it's an election a few months from now.
The latest column from Terry Savage has to do with long-term care. What do we need to know about this? And as you point out, Terry, this is a good time to check into long-term care policies, isn't it?
You know, it's a topic that I've been passionate about for more than 20 years because it's, and I think it's particularly a woman's issue. If you wind up alone, who's going to take care of you? What happens when you run out of money? And so I long ago encouraged people to buy this insurance, which at the time was really inexpensive, because I used to say if the state, yes, Medicare doesn't cover stays in custodial care, just into a skilled facility if you've been in the hospital and for a few days. But the fact is, I used to warn that you don't want to be put in a Medicaid nursing home because that's the least possible choice, and that's what's going to happen if you don't have any money when you're older, unless you have insurance and you can pay for it privately. So we found out that as of June 3rd, 42% of all COVID-19 deaths in the U.S. have come from nursing homes or assisted living facilities. Think about that. That dreaded, I don't want to be put there. So the one way around it is long-term care insurance. And I'm not going to go in all the details, but let me say that there's a new kind of policy that combines life insurance with long-term care insurance. I've written an article about it at terrysavage.com. And you won't be surprised to know that although that policy has a fixed cost, the cost to buy it is going up with many insurers as of July 15th. So if you've thought about it, it's not for everyone. This kind of policy requires you to plop some cash in, either at one point or over 10 years. like a life insurance policy. And the best part of this new policy combines insurance. So if you don't use the long-term care insurance, you know, you're healthy and then you fall over on the 17th hole of the golf course, your beneficiaries to the life insurance part get a nice hunk of money. It's not premiums down the drain with the combo policy.
And if someone got into a long-term care policy quite a while ago, when it was still offered at a fairly low price, I know prices have gone up, but is it worth looking into shifting to this new version of the policy that combines it with life insurance?
If you first of all, if you have an older policy, one that had inflation protection, your premiums every year, mine started out to be $1,800, and although I had one fully paid policy, this one has gone up to over $7,000 a year. But it's got such great provisions in it, compound interest, lifetime protection. You don't want to give up those good things if you can afford to make those annual premiums. But for people who have not considered long-term care insurance, please read the article. I give you three sources that you can talk to. I get nothing out of this. I don't sell anything. You all know that. But I want you, if you, to be prepared, because a lot of people have life insurance and they're older. Maybe you can transfer that cash value into a long-term care combo policy, and that might work for you.
And are you relatively optimistic about the reopening of our country and what it means economically, Terry?
There are a lot of challenges, and, you know, I don't have any special insights into that. I've been mired, Bobby, and you know this, in the issues around the Illinois Department of Employment Security, the unemployment office. I have been working on this since day one. I sent a message to people who knew the governor, he better pay attention. And we're now having people still who filed in March, so March, April, May, going into their fourth month, where clearly they deserve benefits. Clearly, I hope they're going to get a back check of a hunk of money, but I hear from people who can't buy medicines or pay rent or food for their children are desperate, and I hope that the governor, I mean, this is a plea to the governor, you know, COVID issues, you yourself are going out and protesting, so although we know this is serious, it's time to turn your attention to the giant mess at IDES.
Yeah, it's been very frustrating for people online trying to call, and they're just overloaded.
It's inexcusable and unforgivable, and the systems have broken down. So the people who do file and are told that you can certify by calling this number, which is what you have to do. You have to certify and say, oh, they try to certify online and say, well, you can't certify online. Call this number, and the phone rings and rings and drops the call. I know that. You know that. In fact, anybody who's tried to get unemployment in Illinois knows that problem. It's astounding to me now. I think this comes back to the governor. And I hope the media will shift. I've tried myself personally so hard. I hope that drum up some media interest in calling the governor to account for allowing this to happen.
Yeah, we all got to keep on banging. TerrySavage.com for more, especially that column on the long-term health care. Thanks, as always, Terry. Have a good day.
Good to you, Bob.